Geologist and newsletter writer Mickey Folt from mercenarygeologist.com joins us now. Mickey has over 30 years' experience as an exploration geologist, searching for economic deposits of base and precious metals, industrial minerals, coal, uranium, oil and gas, and water in North and South America, Europe, and Asia. He's worked for junior explorers, major mining companies, private companies, and investors as a consulting economic geologist for the past 22 years. Mickey is well known throughout the mining and exploration community for his ongoing work as an analyst, newsletter writer, and speaker. Mickey, welcome back to the program.
Good to be back. Good to be back in the country, the good old U.S. of A.
Well, from what I understand, you've been doing a lot of traveling in Europe, in Eastern Europe, Northern Europe. Speaking of the good old USA, the greenback is still a currency that is favored in most places.
That's true, Ellis. I did an experiment. I actually was in six countries. I started in Scandinavia, Finland, Sweden, a stopover in Amsterdam, Eastern Germany, stopover in Paris, and Northwest Spain. The experiment was, could I travel in Europe for 15 days and never exchange U.S. dollars for euros? I can report back that I did that successfully. I basically lived in Europe on U.S. dollars and my American Express card. So the U.S. dollar still reigns as the world's reserve currency.
And it pretty much will be the world's reserve currency for the foreseeable future, at least according to an extremely well-written article that you wrote in August and posted on your website, mercenarygeologist.com. Would you elaborate on that, if you don't mind, Mickey?
Well, first of all, thanks for the kind words, Ellis. I wrote a piece called The Greek Crisis, The World's Reserve Currency in Gold, and the gist of this, or the thesis, if you will, was that this ongoing euro currency debacle is not a crisis. A crisis is defined as something that has to be dealt with immediately, and I fail to see how a crisis that's 3 years running is a viable concept, especially based on the fact that Greece is, at best, a second-world country. It has something like the 32nd highest GDP in the world, right up there with Thailand and Chile. So we can certainly do without Greek olive oil, but we can't do without copper from Chile at 35% of the world's copper. Went on to talk about the U.S. dollar remains the world's reserve currency. I do not foresee that changing anytime in the near future. And with the continued quantitative easing, both in Europe and the hints of which Bernanke talked about last Friday in Jackson Hole, gold looks bullish for the future. And we had some developments this very morning that supports my thesis.
Well, we had some developments in Europe. Let's talk about the European bond market. And to follow that up, we had a large jump in the price of gold. If gold keeps heading north like that, is it dangerous with such a steep incline, or is it something that's sustainable over the next few months?
Well, with the continued quantitative easing going on, I think that gold, in the near term anyway, looks bullish. What happened this morning is Draghi came in and announced an aggressive bond buying program, gave a huge boost to European stocks. It knocked the dollar down against all currencies. The euro is up. But precious metals reacted significantly. Gold, as we speak, is about $1,735. Silver at $3,360, $3,350 more or less. That's a six-month high. And the other two precious metals, platinum and palladium, hit five-month highs. So these moves, in my mind, were probably overdue, if you will. Plus, we've come out of the weak season for gold, which is generally July and August. I continue to think that gold will be range-bound this year. I said in around the turn of the year, I felt it was going to be range-bound somewhere $1,600 to $1,900. For more or less, we've seen that. That, Draghi's moves this morning, combined with Bernanke's moves Friday afternoon from Jackson Hole, with a hint at more monetization by the Fed, has been very bullish for precious metals over the last week.
Do you think that some of these junior mining companies can come out from underneath their rocks and breathe a little easier now?
Well, again, we are now in a season. We are through the summer doldrums. Everybody's back to work. Back in March or April, one or the other, I stated that I saw no catalyst on the horizon for that gave hope for the junior resource sector until post-Labor Day. So we've seen a post-Labor Day rally in the juniors. I'm looking at my board today, and it's probably about 80% green. It has been green for the most part every day this week. So liquidity is better. I wouldn't say liquidity is good, but that's very key to the junior resource sector. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I would say, for the junior resource sector. That said, the majority of these companies are still in trouble. The Venture Exchange Index is still down something, perhaps 15% since the first of the year. So we are still in what looks like a bear market for the juniors. But that's good, because when these things happen, the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater and good stocks suffer. Perhaps not as much, but they do suffer. And those present buying opportunities.
So you're looking for some suffering, and that's how people like yourself and others tend to profit.
Well, you've got to grow a pair sometime in these markets and wade in and buy things and be a contrarian and go against the herd. And being a contrarian, buying things when they are unknown, unloved, unwanted, undervalued, is the way to make money, especially in a risk-on speculative market like the junior resource sector.
Do you think the time for shorting many of these companies might be over? Is that window closing? It might be a little safer to jump in. The balls don't have to be as big.
Yeah, I think this is a good time, and your point is well taken there, what you hinted at, Ellis. This could be just short covering on some of the better known juniors and the small miners. So there's still, as always, a huge risk in this market, but high risk, high reward, and that's the game we tend to play here.
Tell me about some of the companies that you believe are worth the risk right now.
Let's talk about the companies perhaps that I visited in Europe. I've started in Sweden, and I looked at a company that I am a very early on shareholder, and that's Flinders Resources, which will be the first new graphite producer, and it is an old graphite producer, but we would expect it to be in commercial production certainly by the end of 2013, if not before. So I visited that, very impressed with that operation. I went on into Finland and did my second visit at Mosen near Rovani, Santa Claus Land on the Arctic Circle. That is a bonanza gold play. They have just made another new grassroots discovery. I would guess somewhere around 10 kilometers east of Rompus. So they continue to find gold, and that looks like a very interesting play. My travels then took me to eastern Germany, to the historic town of Dresden, and our generation, we all read Slaughterhouse-5 in college, I'm sure, and that was set in Dresden, Kurt Vonnegut's famous novel. So I got to see the bombed-out remnants, the restored portions of Dresden, and that was very interesting. But the real reason I was in Dresden was that's the historic Erzgebirge district, which for geologists and engineers, we all read De Re Metallica as part of our education, and that was written in something like 1566. It is really the first mining district where any sort of modern-day methods and geology were applied. Historically, it's been a 10 tungsten silver uranium district, and the company I was looking at is the company I cover, Avrupa Minerals. They have a grassroots reconnaissance effort there for gold. There are lots of places where gold has been panned in the streams, but there's never been modern-day exploration done.
Now, can industrial metals uptick at the same time as gold and silver are doing so?
Well, absolutely, and copper is up 11 cents today, and so I think you and I have talked about Dr. Copper, PhD in economics. So the recent moves by both the Fed, or Bernanke's hints of moves, I should say, and Draghi's actual move today with quantitative easing has been bullish for copper. Copper is up something on the order of, I don't know, what would it be, about 5% or so over the last week. So that was up. Brent crude was up today, although WTI was flat. That's, again, move the arbitrage up between the two oil standards between the Eastern Hemisphere and the Western Hemisphere. As far as the other metals, a lot of that just depends on the mood and the ideas that people have what's going to go on in China. China certainly has slowed down, but the demand for metals remains strong. Although most industrial metals are not at anywhere near all-time highs, there's still strong prices and money can be made mining them.
Optimism for investors in 2013, Mickey? Are you willing to speak about that here in early September?
As a geologist, we always almost have to be eternal optimists. And so I have an optimistic longer-term or mid-term view, let's say. The junior resource sector is undergoing a major change. A lot of these companies will fail. They need to fail because they didn't belong to begin with. But as always, I remain a secular bull in most commodity markets, driven mainly by demand in China, India, and Indonesia, with a growing middle class. So for well-run juniors with the right combination of share structure, people, and projects, I remain a bull, mid-term to long-term bull for this sector.
And you offer a free subscription-based website, mercenarygeologist.com. Talk to us about that.
I do. It's free. Everything we do is free. My writings. There are some benefits to becoming a free subscriber in the fact that you get things early before they're released to the website through email. And a subscriber also gets my mercenary alerts, which are stocks that I'm involved with that I cover. So I run a sponsor model. Just mentioned three of my sponsors. I generally visit all the field projects that these companies have of merit. In addition, we run mercenarygeologist.fm, 24/7 streaming audio interviews, and for our bilingual or our Chinese-speaking audience, we run mercenarygeologist.asia.
Mickey, as always, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I hope to catch up with you again in person somewhere in the near future. Thanks for joining me today again on the program.
Okay, I look forward to that, Ellis, wherever our travels may take us. And I know you have connections to Albuquerque, so next time you're here, be sure and get a hold of me.
I've been speaking with the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. His website is mercenarygeologist.com. Listen to the segment again on the podcast page of our website, EllisMartinReport.com.